In January of 2013, the family of the prayer center entered a new phase or had a new horizon that was before us, and that was that we no longer seen only sand. We were no longer in the wilderness, but we had Jordan before us, and that we were to cross it as a body, as a family, and wait for his next instructions inside what we've cloned as the Promised Land. And we went into the valley right across Jordan, as they did. And we felt as though it was going to be a very quick trip, and that we were going to take Jericho in a moment, because we had been in the wilderness for any extent of time, whatever you relate to, years, months, days. And we got there, and he decided and knew ahead of time that he was going to begin to circumcise us. And he was going to cut any flesh that remained between him and us, no matter how long it took, because he knew we were in no way ready to take Jericho. At the same time, the word of the Lord came that we no longer was going to receive our daily food by the manna that was to be delivered, but that each one of us was going to be required to begin offensive warfare to take our part of the Promised Land. No one could go out and collect it for us. Hear that? No one could take the sword that he put in our hands and allow it to lay down by our side and allow someone else to fight our battles. Now, we understand that offensive warfare, all warfare, can only be won by the word, and can only be won by the word that's in your mouth. And I'm speaking of your mind, your intellect, everything about you. It's the only way the war will be won, your war. And it's all offensive. Never on the defense, never retreating. You're always on the offensive. So as the Lord would have it, somehow, because he sits outside of time, and a million years ago is like today to him, that's sort of easy. But a million years from now is like today to him, because he sits outside of time. He can answer a problem that you're going to have, let's say 20 years from now, but much farther out. So at the beginning of this year, he chose to come again, though he had come throughout the whole year. And there was an indication that there was going to be another change. And it came through a word on the calling in the lost service. I believe it was, came on December the 29th. And you have a copy of it there. But before we go there, I want to begin to lay a foundation for really the entire family of the prayer center which the majority of the family of the prayer center is right through that media. What is represented here is a small representation of where the Father is taking this message. Some of them have only been part of the family for months, days. They didn't get a hug this morning. They didn't get a hug. They're totally by themselves. Isolated, possibly. Separated, possibly. But are standing alone, feeding, waiting for the table to be set with the truth. In every known language on the face of the earth. That's what you're a part of. So if you would with me, please, turn to Romans 8. Because most of the people that are on the internet or by audio, they don't have a Bible in their hand. And they're listening. It was about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, that the Lord spoke to us and said, from this day forward, every message that comes through the prayer center, I want to deliver to the world. And only deliver those that I tell you to deliver. If you would like to write this down, if you're keeping notes, there's a new service posted out on the website. It will not be available in the bookstore. You'll have to download it from the website or listen to it. And it is in Dave's website. Out under, I believe it's weekly messages. Let me give you the number. It's WR140112. That's WR140112. The title of the message is The Severity of Taking Offenses. I believe Dave delivered that message in 1995. The severity of taking offenses. I highly recommended, as a fellow servant, that you listen to that message. It is as current as December 29th's prophecy. The Holy Spirit does have the ability to tell us things to come. Okay? All right. Let's go to Romans 8. And I'm going to read Romans 8, 35 through 39 to begin with. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then 1 Corinthians 2:9. That's 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And then 1 John 4, verses 7 through 7 and 8 and 16. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The question before you this morning, at least this question, is there anything that the Father has ever said to you that he did not say in love? Another way to say it is there anything that he has ever said to you or to others that the foundation of what he said is love? Every spanking that you've got, every correction that has ever come to you as an individual had to have and did have its foundation as love. Would you agree? When you look at every word and everything that you feel as though he has said, we all need to understand that it could only have come from love. As we read the entire Old Testament, of all of the battles, of the flood, etc., 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 not only is every word that he's ever said based on a foundation of love, but every action that he has ever taken comes from a heart of love beyond our understanding and beyond our logic, but it is love. Would we agree? He is not capable of, he does not have the capacity to speak in hate. He does not have the capacity to speak with revenge in his heart. He only has capacity, and sometimes beyond our understanding, how much he truly loves us and how much freedom he's given us, but how much he really, really loves us. Because that is who he is and that is what he is. And as we're walking through this time, this season, we'll need to fully understand that. Because there is correction coming. And it is all going to be based on love. And I'm talking about correction for me. I'm not concerned about the correct. Well, that's the wrong word. I do want you to receive your correction, but I only want you to receive your correction from him. Okay, so we've established that everything that he has ever said, ever done, is based on love, recognizing we don't fully understand it. The next thing is I'd like to go to Romans chapter 12. And I'll read these. It's chapter 12, verses 6. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 10. And it's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. And it's 1 Peter 1, verses 21. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. For the prophecies came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. That's 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. This is Paul talking to his son Timothy. It's his second letter to Timothy. And it's probably the last written documentation from Paul to a son. The end of the chapters expresses that he's fought a good fight. He's won. A crown's laid up for him. And he's gone on to heaven. But he has one individual that just feels as though he must write. And that's Timothy. To tell him the will of the Lord through prophecy to him. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Let's stop there a moment. That's the Old Testament. They used the word scriptures, but Timothy did not have the joy of reading Ephesians and Galatians and Colossians and 1 and 2 Corinthians and Hebrews. He only had the scriptures of the past that holy men wrote when they were anointed of the Holy Ghost, just like today. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture, all prophecies, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In the Amplified, it reads this way. Every scripture prophecy is God breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instructions, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of errors and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in conforming to God's will in thought, in purpose and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. We at the prayer center have those types of gifts within this body, that every word that comes forth from the Lord causes us to be equipped for every good work. I'm going to read a word from the Lord that came, well, it doesn't matter the date. Would you like to know the date? Okay. Would you like to know, would you like to be put under, how should I say, would you like to be put under condemnation? Father, you say this as much as I say this. Father, I forgive everybody. And I asked you to forgive me of everything. And according to my record in heaven, I have never failed you. That's the power of the blood. And that's why there is no condemnation, even though I'm kidding. I'm not kidding about the blood. I'm kidding about any condemnation. How many times have you read the word? I'm sure you read it over and over and over again, and all of a sudden something jumps out like, where have I been my whole life? Why didn't I know that then or when? Okay. You know, and you sort of look and you say, why did you withhold it from me? Of course, he's looking back and saying, I didn't. But your heart is now ready to receive it. Your heart is now ready to grab a hold of it because you have come to that place. Here's the word of the Lord that came March 2nd of 2010. As a father to my family, I'm about to give you a key. Each one who picks up this key, it will be your staff of victory. Each one individually who picks up this key, it will be your staff of victory. Take each word that I speak, and I add, take each word that I speak to my body and to my family. Take each word as if it is said only to you. If you think of it for someone else and not you, you have already erred, and an adjustment must be made in you towards truth. Each word that I speak to you, and I do not specifically speak to another, is as if it is for you alone. That means that Gary, there's others who have that gift, that they can come and give her a specific word. This, 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 and this. That's a specific word. But all of the words that are coming to the prayer center in the past and the future is to you as an individual. You have to take ownership of it. You have to stick it in your pocket and say, this is mine. It may be for you, but that's not my responsibility. Of course, I'm sure that it is, but I'm going to take ownership of it, and I'm going to put it as part of my two-edged sword. because it's for me. Just as in the days of old, those who heard my words often cut off the message in judgment of the messenger. So it is too often in my family. I'd like him to always talk about someone else and talk about the past. But too often, we ignore the message because of the messenger. We also ignore the healings that take place in people's lives because we know the messenger. That's why when the prophecies come forth from the prayer center, you never see a name attached to it. We've had people let me put it this way. We've had people leave our fellowship. They never left the body of Christ. They never left the family of God. But they left our fellowship, our small part, and they've went somewhere else. They never lost their salvation. They've never lost the love of the Father. They just decided they shouldn't be here because of a certain individual speaking, and they did not enjoy what that individual was speaking. When one of the speakers here was still smoking, we had people who left the church. I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. And that's where it belongs. But I'll read this again. Just as in days old, those who heard my words often cut off the message in judgment of the messenger, so it is too often in my family. I use those I choose who are willing, and my heart delights in that. They are willing, and he takes great delight in that. I also use those I choose to help my family walk deeper in my love and truth. I also use those I choose to help my family walk deeper in love and truth, learning that it is not my messenger, but I who speak to you. Isn't that good? Every time you have thought and seen the flesh of someone and God using them, of course, you probably never did that. How could you have ever used that one? Look at that. The majority of the time, at the beginning, we have shut the door to the love that the Father was trying to show us for our own lives. That it wasn't us, that we were just the empty vessel that he wanted to fill. Is there any word of my word that has not been recorded for you? Is not each one of my words recorded just for you? So it is with the words I speak this day, this present time. Not a 24-hour day, but this day, this season. And the words that I have spoken to you, if you will choose to hear each word I speak as me speaking to you and choose to do what I ask you to do, you will not lose. Impossible to lose. If you take each word that has come from me, all that has been said for you, and take them to yourself as if you are if they are brand new, and sit with me and hear me speak them to you, you will be my disciples, and my life will come forth in you. This key is a delight to give to you. I speak these things not in disappointment, but in joy that these words can be spoken to you. You are receivers of truth, and there are many things I have yet to say to you. As you hear and embrace this key of hearing my words as my life to you, you will be ready for the things I'm preparing you for what I will say to you. Great is my delight in you. Great is my joy that I may come now and say these things to you. My words are life to you. And abiding in my word is discipleship in you. As you follow these instructions I give you, more instructions will come. I will speak to you as family, and I will speak to you as sons. Great is my joy this day. Next, every instruction that you receive from me, it will not add to your burdens. Every word that you receive from the Lord, it will not add to your burdens. Every word that you receive from the Lord as an instruction is a promise. Is a promise that by the Holy Spirit, He will fulfill that as you co-labor with Him. It will free you from your burdens, for the instructions that come from the mind of Christ are intended to loose me, the Holy Spirit, and my power in the lives of every believer. His instructions do not come in such a fashion that I will sit idle while men should work. Do you have that picture? The majority of you that have received a word from the Lord as to what you are called to do, whatever it is, the smallest, what you consider the smallest of things. And he doesn't have small and big when he gives you a word. When he gave Gideon the word, "O great man of valor," to him it was not a big thing and it wasn't a small thing. How could a battle to destroy the enemy be big to God? It was just an event. Moses, I mean, your own life. We sort of, I don't know how to say it positive, we sort of make light of or kid around that we say, "Lord, you said what?" Like it's a big deal. But co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, when He's been come and called alongside of you, He does not go and sit down and say, "Go ahead and take care of that while I sit and watch you." What He gave you to accomplish, He absolutely knows that you never ever will accomplish it if you think you can do it on your own. I mean, it's laughable. But co-laboring with him, it's already done. That's the season we're walking into. As we said earlier, a year ago, it's offensive warfare. There's not a giant in the promised land that we are going to conquer ourselves. And there's not a giant in the promised land that will be able to stand before us, period. His instructions do not come in such a fashion that I would stand idle while men should work. His instructions come that men can rest in the freedom which belongs to the Son of the living God, while the Spirit performs all things according to my power that is resident within myself. This is the help that the Father and the Son have sent to their serving sons, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's Zechariah 4:6. Okay, now to your handout. We have 10 minutes, so let's go the next step. You can just read along with me. This was in September 6, 2006. September 6, 2006. Do you know that it's just as alive today as it was September 6, 2006? You know, there's no dust on it. It's not an old word. It's a living word. It has much power today as it did when it first came forth. And incidentally, it'll have as much power forever. And whenever you pick it up and eat it, whenever you pick it up and make it a part of you, it will nourish you. Once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly as entertainment, almost, and something of small value. For I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you now. By my own arms, I gathered you into myself. Stop. You see what he, I mean? Do you know what he's saying? I've not had you here. I have not had you here. I've not had you here all this time for me to separate myself from you now. By my own arms, by my own will, by my own desires, by my own mind of Christ, I've gathered you and brought you and put you here. I've put my arms around you and said, you're at the right place. You're at the right time. And I desire for you to be here. Now, this is not only for those that are here. It's for everyone that is no longer here. It is for everyone that does not even know about the prayer center when they come. This word, following this truth, You're not here by accident. Tell the devil or any of his demons to go back to hell where they belong. However you do that, hell is not a swear word. It is a real place, and that's where they belong. I have not had you here all this time to separate myself from you. Now, with my own arms, I've gathered you unto myself, and I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I have spoken to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does the blood. If you don't eat it, it will not bring life. There has been messages or services talking about your blueprint, talking about gathering everything that the Lord has ever said to you, every rhema word that He's ever given you, everything as how you can look into that book and say, this is what heaven thinks about me. This is who I am in heaven, because every one of them come from there. Every one of them. This is who I really am. Take it, and when the enemy comes, take a look at this. Have you ever read your words to the devil? You know, he doesn't stay around very long. It's really like praying in tongues. Okay? He can't stand you praying in tongues. It totally confuses him. He has no idea what you're praying. He has no idea what's taking place. You're completely ignoring him. That's exactly the way he feels every time you ask for forgiveness, incidentally. Because he doesn't have any forgiveness in him. You want to embarrass the devil? Get down on your knees and ask the Father to forgive you. For anything. It doesn't have to be big and it doesn't have to be small. He can't stand it. Okay? Because you're ignoring him. You're bringing the blood right up in his face. And letting him know how stupid he was. Okay, to crucify our Lord. And he thought he was smart. He thinks he's smart with you, but not against the words the Lord's given you. And when you eat it, and when you live it, and it becomes bone of your bone and marrow, there's no stopping. No stopping. Except stopping him. With the measure, with this we'll close. Eat my word till it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you, like the marrow does the blood. With the measure, here's our responsibility. It was his responsibility to deliver it to you. It's your responsibility to receive it. Every gift is that way. It's your responsibility to become a great receiver and receive it. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word says the Lord. I keep hearing the word, a single word, and that single word is, if you would like to write it down, that single word is trust. This is not a homework lesson for the next time the Lord allows me to speak, but I would take that word trust and begin to study what that means to you. The instructions that he's already given since the first of the year, it must mean that there's going to be a trust that he wants to give us as a gift for us to continually walk into where he has us going. Trust me. Trust me. Love you and see you in 30 minutes.